Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Is on the phone. Who is it, Eve?
Yeah, we have Philip Mortlock on the phone, who is a creative director, and he's going to be chatting with us about a new book that's come out called Smokey Dawson, A Life. And it sounds like a really massive undertaking, a 368-page coffee table book.
Mm.
Very keen to hear more about this. So thank you for joining us, Philip.
Oh, glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Now, Philip, we've got to talk about your background because you've done the odd things. You've been on the board of ARIA. You ran WEA Records there for many years. You designed INXS album covers. What haven't you done? Oh, Origin Music, which you're part of. We've got to talk about Origin Music. So give us a bit of a background on who you are.
Oh, goodness me. Well, let's try and keep it short and sweet. Yes, I have worked in the music industry now for about 40-something years. Basically wanted to do the record cover. All my friends were musicians, but I wanted to do the cover. So being a graphic artist and photographer, I managed to wheedle myself into the art department of what was called WEA, but is more commonly known as Warner Music. And I worked there in the art department for a couple of years. Then they moved me into PR, so I did a bit of PR, running around to radio stations and magazines and newspapers and doing all that. And then sort of moved into marketing. They gave me a title, Creative Services Manager, and for many years I did that at Warner's right through the 80s. And I worked with bands like Cold Chisel and INXS and Mondo Rock and Mental as Anything and Jenny Morris and, yeah, a lot of fantastic Australian artists during that period. But I also, just as an aside, was very involved in the marketing of the international artists that Warner's had, which were artists that came from Atlantic Records, Warner Brothers Records, Elektra Records, Asylum Records. And one of those artists was Prince.
Ah.
And I heard you were just playing Nothing Compares to You. Well, I can tell you, it was the first three albums were almost impossible to break in this market.
I know.
We tried. And it wasn't, you know, until we started. Well, I think basically, you know, we convinced Molly to run a clip on Countdown, and a couple of radio stations stuck their neck out and started playing a couple of songs, and it started to break. But, you know, it's amazing when you look back at such an extraordinary career as Prince.
Yeah.
And think that, like a lot of other major artists, you know, took a while to break them.
Well, also, Philip, one of the other artists that was on that label as well was Madonna. And Australia took a long time to pick up on Madonna, didn't they?
Well, you know, we're getting right off subject here, but the interesting thing about Madonna was that in the States, Sire Records signed her, and which was an offshoot of Warner Music. And because the dance scene was really happening at that time, and she was going out with a DJ called Jelly Bean Benitez, who produced, I think, her first album, or certainly parts of it, they decided to disguise the fact that she was white. So in other words, they put out the first record with a cover that looked like a black, you know, a 12-inch dance record, and weren't promoting the fact that she was actually a white girl.
Yeah.
And and here in Australia, we thought, well, actually, it's the opposite here. We want her.
Yeah.
So we changed the cover and put a picture of her on the front. But it, once again, you know, thanks to Molly and Countdown and, you know, having a good video and a very healthy dance scene in the clubs, you know, we did start to get traction with her stuff. But, yeah, it took a while. I mean, there were a lot of non-believers that that thought, that's lightweight stuff. That won't work here. But, boy, did it ever.
I'll say.
Anyway,
now let's just talk about, Origin Music.
Well, look, you know, to finish my story.
We're still going on your story,
well,
are we?
I'm segueing. So worked at Warner for many years with all those artists that I mentioned. And then had a change of career working as an independent operator with my business partner, who's also named Philip Walker, and he was running a publishing business. So I started to learn about what publishing was all about, and we started a company called Origin, which has grown. You know, we've got publishing, we've got label services, and we also have a very successful theatrical division. So yes, we look after lots of fantastic theatre catalogues in Australia. So yeah, our business has diversified over the many years that we've been working together. It's about 26 years. And one of the things that we decided to do fairly recently was we decided to publish some books. So we've published four or five books, a couple of books of poetry by a friend of Philip's, a very nice memoir from a colleague of ours that worked in the industry for many years, who's now retired in France. All fairly modest publications, but because of our very long association with Smokey, we were his publisher, but Smokey was also a friend of Philip Walker's family for many years. We decided to republish his memoir, which was originally published by Allen and Unwin back in the mid-80s when Smokey was still very much with us. And he wrote that memoir in longhand in a book and then handed it over to Allen and Unwin. They edited it and published it at the time, and it was a successful book, and it got lots of publicity and sold lots of copies. You know, Smokey's life is an extraordinary life.
But Philip, just explain to people, briefly, who was Smokey Dawson? Because a lot of people, like Eve, didn't know who Smokey Dawson was, because that's because she's too young.
I'm the baby in the room.
No, well, that's completely understandable. But yes, back last century, you know, in the middle of last century, after the Second World War, and before television started, there was radio was the big thing, and Smokey was a big radio star. He had a radio show. It was sponsored by Kellogg's, the Kellogg's Radio Hour. It was aimed towards children, and he was a cowboy character that had this radio show, and he had millions of listeners around the country. And this is when Australia had, you know, a population of 5 or 6 million. So he was one of the biggest radio stars in Australia, and he would constantly tour around Australia doing rodeos and pop-up shows in country towns, much like what Dusty did. You know, basically he was a country music artist, but with a radio personality. And you know, he had comics about him. He had he was an all-round entertainer too. He would do knife throwing, he would crack whips. He was just a remarkable personality. But his story, as he wrote it, I mean, he was the gentlest man you would ever want to meet. And he was married to his lifelong sweetheart, Dot Dawson, who was also a radio personality. They met when they were both doing radio shows together. It's an amazing story. He started out as a pauper and was pretty much orphaned. I mean, his mother died when he was very young. His father was a monster, so he ran away from home basically. And one of the things he described in the book was doing a paper run around the streets of Melbourne, the early hours of dawn on business days, and literally hopping from tram to tram to sort of go the full route around Melbourne and selling papers on the trams. Just, you know, remarkable beginnings, and yet, you know, forged a long and healthy career as an entertainer.
Yeah, so
it's a great story.
A wonderful story. And I didn't realise some of those things you mentioned then as well. But why a coffee table book? Why have you gone to, you know, like this extent? 368 pages. Why?
Well, look, you know, as I said, he wrote the book in the mid-80s. He lived for another 20-odd years. He died at the age of 94 in 2008. He had a full life. And so when we started to research, I mean, you know, he had his original manuscript, and then we commissioned a dear friend of the Dawsons, who was also a journalist based in Brisbane, Glenn T. And he wrote what's called the final chapter, which is quite extensive. So it covers the last years that Smokey was alive and still active, you know, still doing a radio show up here in Sydney and basically, you know, popping up to Tamworth every year to appear at the country music awards and so forth, and we started to collate photos and ephemera to go with the book, and found a lot of material. So that's basically what expanded the book to be what it is. You know, it's full of over 260 photos and illustrations, and we got lots of his contemporaries to you know, send us their messages. You know, so we've got messages from everyone from Keith Urban through to, you know, Lee Kernaghan and Paul Keating, and you know, it's amazing how many lives he touched. You know, because of course he was of an era when a lot of people like your Paul Keatings and your John Laws and Alan Jones and, you know, all sorts of people of that sort of era when they were growing up, you know, he was their hero on the radio.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's why it's grown so big. You know, in 1974, they did a This Is Your Life of Smokey Dawson, you know, the TV series that used to run on,
I think it was
Channel 7. And I remember the producer telling me years later that he said it was just almost impossible to cram that man's life into one episode, because there was so much to draw on.
Yeah. Now, the wonderful thing about this is that the profits go to a charity. What is it?
Well, look, you know, when Smokey and Dot died, they didn't have children of their own. I mean, ironically, they ran a farm, a sort of a ranch for children up here in Sydney for many years. I mean, they were dedicated to other people's children, but they didn't have children of their own. So they didn't actually have a direct family members to leave their estate to. They did have a couple of nephews and nieces. But they left most of their estate to the Bear Cottage, which is a hospice for children that have cancer here in Sydney. And they were tireless. When they were alive, they would do charity shows and fundraising activities for the Bear Cottage all the time. So much of their estate goes to the Bear Cottage, so anything earned by them. So we felt that it was right that, you know, when we published this book and once we recoup the cost of printing it and so forth, you know, yes, it will, any of the proceeds will go to the charities that they appointed.
Brilliant. And what's the book called, Philip?
It's just called A Life.
A Life.
Fairly simple. And it's out there in the bookshops now. I mean, I know it's difficult for people to find or even to want to go to bookshops at the moment, but it's also available online. You just have to Google it and you'll find that it's available either from the book retailers or from our Origin imprint website.
Brilliant. Well, congratulations on it, because it looks amazing. And yes, and it is important that we remember people like him instead of thinking, oh, well, that was then, let's move on. And he was such a character, wasn't he? You know, so well loved.
He was. He was a sweetheart, and he touched many people's lives. And you know, all of those artists that I mentioned and many more in the country music fraternity, you know, he influenced a lot of people. Mm. I mean, so I think there's definitely some relevance in having that story made available as widely as possible again, and thanks for showing interest in it.
No, my pleasure, and always nice talking to you, Philip Mortlock.
Thank you, David.
All right, see you later.
Terrific. Bye. Thanks, Eve. Bye-bye. Thank you. Thanks, Neil. Bye.
Thanks very much. Thanks. We've been talking to Philip Mortlock here on Joy 94.9, Sunday Arts Magazine.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.